Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Joining us on the phone line, you know, we're not allowed to have any radio program without a little bit of music to introduce Weymouth Mayor Bob Hedlund. Mayor, how are you on this good evening?
Good to be with you, Kevin, and Mr. Flood Map Joe Rossi.
I have to ask, so I thought I would ask Larry, our producer, to play a little music in the background. Can you hear that?
I wasn't focused too heavily on it. I didn't quite hear it. Maybe with a couple more notes.
Who is that?
Well, it's clearly Dio on vocals, so it's either solo Dio, it might be Rainbow, but I'm not sure which song that was, but it's definitely Dio.
It was Rainbow Stargazer.
Yep, with Dio on vocals, of course.
With Dio on vocals, of course.
Yeah, Rainbow actually had interesting lineup changes. They had a multitude of lead singers. They had kind of a more hard, mystical edge Dio, and then they got a little bit more poppy. I think Graham Bonnet was lead singer, and then there's another guy they had whose name escapes me for the moment, but they had some less hard edge hits with the third lead singer that they had at one time. And of course, Ritchie Blackmore, lead guitar, who splintered from Deep Purple to form Rainbow.
Who knew? But only you, Mayor Bob Hedlund. Mayor, it's been a busy couple of days for you. I know that on our radio station Friday, you actually you made an announcement in regards to what's going on with the Spectra Energy compressor station, and there was some questions because they had made a proposal, and you actually answered their proposal, even though you were weighing it. Kind of conversate with us about that for a few moments.
Well, I mean, we've been obviously fighting the proposal to site the gas compressor station in North Weymouth as part of the Atlantic Bridge project by Spectra. And a number of occasions they approached us and wanted to talk about mitigation, and we declined to sit with them. But as time went on, and with the looming environmental assessment, which came out this past Monday, we felt that after some consultation with other town officials, it made sense to see what we could come up with. So we negotiated a package that was pretty significant. And, you know, we took some time to kind of disseminate that and weigh that and get some feedback from the community. And clearly, it's not a path that I, at this point, nor the community wants to go down. So we announced on Friday that we would not be considering that package, even though it's a record amount of money, record amount of a mitigation package that any community's negotiated to host any gas compressor or related type facility.
Bob, there's, you know, I know there's rumors about all issues like this that float around. I've heard that this is something that will come.
I love comments or questions that start with "I've heard."
Well, it's better to hear it and straighten out the rumors than let them continue to fly. So,
right.
You know, I've heard that this could come back. It's going to happen either way. I mean, kind of address some of the concerns from people that you know, and things that I've heard where this.
Well, what could come back? What do you mean it could come back?
Well, that this is going to end up happening in Weymouth, whether you say no to it or not, basically.
Yeah, the problem is the federal agency, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which oversees the process, is really an enabler. They're not really a protector, but an enabler. And the process is set up, and much of the process has been in place since the 1930s. It's really set up to facilitate these projects. And we don't have really much of a say at the local level. The federal procedures, you know, even if we rule against it for our conservation commission, or if the state does certain things, it can be very easily overridden. So, you know, you look at the process, you make a judgment. We've got outside counsel that the previous mayor had on retainer for a while fighting this. And I hired a new town solicitor, the first time we've had an in-house town solicitor. And part of the reason I hired Joe Callanan was his expertise in these issues, his background in these issues. So we've got a good team that's been working on this. And, you know, all of the legal advisors we have quantify it a certain way and tell us that, you know, it's probable, about a 90% probability when we ask them to quantify it, you know, that it's a 90% probability that this will happen. I talked to some of our federal delegation. I haven't talked to all of them. Some have been more engaged than others, and the picture that they paint is not a good picture. The irony is, you know, it lies in the hands of the federal government. It's five FERC commissioners who were all appointees of President Obama. There are things we can do to slow them down, and there are things that we have done to slow them down, which is what I think brought them to the table. I mean, we're costing Spectra some time on the construction timeline. You know, we feel that the deck is stacked against us on the approval process, but we've done some things to tie them up. And they've got customers on the other end that they've got to meet commitments towards. They're fully subscribed. When they flip the switch, they've got 100% capacity sold already through contracts, which is one of the things FERC looks at, too. So I think what drove them to sit with us was the fact that they've got to meet those commitments. I don't think they're really worried about getting their approvals, but I think they were more worried about the time that we had been costing them.
So, I would ask you, Mayor, what is the next, what happens next? What are we anticipating for news or activity next on this particular, on the proposed compressor station?
Well, the main thing is the environmental assessment was released Monday. It basically rules out alternatives. It talks about the project itself and says it's not a significant threat. And now there's a 30-day window where we can comment on that and call for a full environmental impact statement, which is a longer regulatory process and opens up the project to more criticism. Then FERC will weigh that request, and then they'll rule whether or not an EIS is required or not.
Okay.
Council tells us it's unlikely that they will require an EIS, given the way that the environmental assessment reads. So further, you know, advancing the project and further evidence that this is weighted heavily for the gas providers.
I want to kind of switch gears while we have you for a few moments here, and there are a couple, there's some political races, not only on the federal level, but yeah, well, right in your very own backyard. First, we'll touch upon the race. Going to be decided tomorrow by voters in the Plymouth Norfolk State Senate District. Give me your thoughts on this race as it shakes out tomorrow.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting race. You've got a significant turnout projected in Hull, which is Joan Moschino's hometown.
Yep.
And we don't know if that's going to help her or not, but I would think it'll help her identify and get more of her voters out, and that'll offset the Weymouth vote a little bit, which I think is, if the primary was any indication, it's going to be heavily weighted for O'Connor.
Yep.
And as you know, Weymouth's the largest town in the district. So the way I see it, O'Connor's going to do extremely, extremely well, like landslide proportion in Weymouth. He'll do very well in Hingham, and I think he'll do very well in Norwell. I think you're going to have low turnout in Duxbury and Marshfield, and probably Scituate. I think the northern end of the district is where the bulk of the vote's going to come out, and I think that he'll do well in the majority of those communities. So I think it looks pretty good. He's got an interesting base of support aside from my endorsement and Governor Baker's endorsement, who, as you know, was in the district in three locations on Saturday for him. We had good turnout for that. He's got an interesting base of labor support. I don't remember the last time a Republican got the AFL-CIO endorsement here in Massachusetts, but Patrick did receive that. So he's got significant labor support, and that's going to help him also.
Now, I know that you were supposed to have some kind of a role in last weekend's caucuses, the presidential caucuses. Give me your thoughts on what has transpired last weekend, and we saw all this week where now Donald Trump is the presumptive candidate who will get the GOP nod.
Right. Yeah, well, when you say I was supposed to have a role, that's correct, and I don't know what happened. But as you know, the Trump organization put forward a slate of delegate candidates for the caucus that was advertised. I was on that slate as an alternate delegate, but I was also on as a delegate on the so-called Liberty slate, which is a group of activists who asked me to go on that slate, the so-called Liberty voting bloc, and they're not opposed to Trump. What their platform was that they didn't want to see a manipulation of the rules like we had 4 years ago. So their position was to recognize the will of the voters, i.e. support the mandate for Trump. So there was no, you know, those two groups were not necessarily at odds. Jeff Beal was also on both slates. And when I got to the caucus, I was told that I was removed as an alternate delegate. The explanation that I was given was because I was on the Liberty slate also, which doesn't make any sense when you consider that they obviously kept Jeff Beal on. He's the chairman, co-chairman for Trump in Massachusetts, and he was on both slates. So that argument doesn't wash. So I don't know what happened, but it is what it is. And I was a little bit occupied with town business this week to, you know, bother to get to the bottom of what the situation was. Maybe you can do some investigative journalism on your show and figure that one out.
Okay. Well, give me your thoughts where, you know, it's winding down. We're getting closer to the conventions this summer. What is it going to be like having two candidates, having a Donald Trump where you hear the outcry about having him as the GOP front, you know, the nominee, and then Hillary Clinton where Hillary doesn't have that trust factor. And I don't know if the base for the Democrats is energized by her being the candidate as well, that is the nominee.
No, I mean, the evidence throughout this primary season suggests that there is a little bit of, you know, that so-called enthusiasm gap for her. Clearly, you know, Sanders has brought people out. Even with Sanders bringing people out, you know, Hillary's base vote is less than it was the last time she ran for president 8 years ago. So I think she was a stronger candidate 8 years ago than she is now. And, you know, the Republicans, conventional wisdom tells us that Trump has a lot of negatives and may not be the best person that we could have nominated, but clearly he is bringing people into the primary process to a greater extent than we've ever seen. He's brought the primary turnout in Republican states, Republican contests in states, to record levels. So I like what he's saying in terms of trade. For me, that's the number one issue. I think that the loss of the middle class is what is helping to drive this this income inequality and the gap between rich and poor. And I think that any effort to protect middle-class jobs and try to bring some of those middle-class jobs, I'm all in favor for. We're getting ripped off left and right. I've been following this issue since I was a kid following NAFTA. I think we get ripped off in every single one of these trade deals, and I'm glad that he's talking about it. Clearly, now that Hillary's dancing on both sides of that issue, it resonates with people in important states in the process.
Well, man, we thank you very much for weighing in on a couple of different issues, and we'll have to make this a regular report, the Weymouth Report from Mayor Bob Hedlin. We'll have to do that.
And as I've said the last couple times we've talked, I miss you guys, and I'd like to get down into the studio one of these nights. And just don't get mad at me if I play around with the music.
There he is. Weymouth Mayor Bob Hedlin joining us. Thank you for joining us again, Mayor.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. We're going to step aside, and of course, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. We'll be right back in just a moment.